Pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need a motion to approve the minutes of the August 10 meeting?
I'll move it.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Nate, any, nope, no grievances. Moving on to department requests. Scott, you're up first.
Morning.
Morning.
So I have for you this morning, I sent out yesterday an email, hope everybody got it, to talk about a potential program that the state comp board has pushed down to self-insureds if we're interested. It's called the 15-8 wholesale buyback program. In your email, I kind of put together a quick overview. Basically, the state set up this special funds group many years ago to help offset some costs related to claims for workers' comp claims for individuals they feel could be brought back to work, hired elsewhere with their injury. It worked well, but typical something in state of New York, 2007, they stopped doing it and then disbanded it in 2018. So this fund has been sitting there, still going, offsetting a little bit of cost to some of these individuals. Came this early spring and decided to offer to self-insureds like Steuben County the ability to buy your 15-8 claims from them. They would pay us. We take the claims. We administer those claims, handle those claims for this cost. So we, Jack and I, Chris, talked to our consultant. They reached out to the state comp board and put together a list of 20 claims that are part of this 15-8 program. They were attached in your email as well. They then took those claims and they figured a life expectancy of those individuals, those claims, the costs related to those claims, both medical and the indemnity portion, came up with a value to purchase those claims that they would give to Steuben County in the amount of $2,625,922. Basically, if we were to agree to pursue this and do this program, the state would write us a check for that amount, and we would now have those 20 claims in-house to control. Those claims right now are part of our current tail claims we have and our current claims going on anyways with PERMA. They're already administering those claims for us. We're already being reimbursed a little bit out of the 15-8 and paying those claims each month as we have been. So from that perspective, nothing changes. PERMA would still administer those for us as they have. I think some positives, as I've pointed out here, when we first started looking at it, I really think it's a win for our plan, and I think it's a win for the county. We could control these claims now. As prior, we would have to go through the state comp board. If we decided to settle, they get involved, settlements amount changes. It's a long process. If we take them internally, now we can work with PERMA to reach out to these individuals and potentially look to settle those quicker. That better? That was strange. It did it yesterday. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's much better. So, you know, that's an advantage that we can then work with PERMA to, you know, take a look at these claims, settle those. If we settle a claim, let's take for an example, Scott Sprague's on the list, I am of claim, and the life expectancy that PERMA, or excuse me, the Work Comp Board has figured my claim is worth $400,000 of its life. That's what would be in reimbursed to me. If we could work with PERMA to settle that claim and settle it at $300,000, that extra money is the county's. So anything extra that we would be able to obtain by settling these claims less than what the comp board has established, that's a positive for us. You know, again, PERMA has looked at this 20 list of claims. The account, the state came in at 2.6 million. PERMA was within about 50,000 of that number. They were actually a share higher. So they look at it that these are really good numbers. They're very viable for what these claims are. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's a positive. You know, the only drawback would be if an individual on this list outlived the life expectancy. So we're going to pay a little longer. But, you know, the average, PERMA looked through these claims, reviewed them very closely. There's no claim in there that looks like it could turn to be something more than it is, something that could change drastically to create larger numbers. They're very confident. Their exact words were, if we had to get 20 claims, these are the 20 claims to get. So a lot of information, I know. Questions, shoot them at me. Jack, I know Jack's been involved with this from the start.
Yeah, as Scott mentioned, there was a lot of discussion about this and a lot of review. PERMA, as you know, with their track record of settling tails and advising the plan, has done a great job, and they've looked at it. We went in depth on each claim and kind of said, you know, is there an outlier here where, you know, you would reasonably anticipate that there's going to be a huge medical expense on one of these, you know, sometime soon. And they said, no, you know, they're pretty stale claims or pretty regular claims, nothing too out there. It gives us control. There's a lot of municipalities that are self-insured that are looking at this very favorably. It puts the control in our hands. So I would certainly recommend it.
And as I said, there's no cost from PERMA because they're doing it already for us. You know, they've already figured 5 or 6 claims they want to work hard at to start to close if we were to go this direction. There is a cost associated. We have a consultant, Scott Brandy with Brandy Insurance, who's started this for us. He would charge us $5,000 the first year. It's a 5-year contract and $2,500 every year to be involved, do some claim reviews, be involved between PERMA, us, and any settlement type, type objectives. So I think that's fairly minimal.
John?
So one question, what are 15-8 claims?
These are claims that are our workers' comp claims that are open that the comp board figures are individuals that could be hired back, could go back to work. It was a fund set up several years ago to try to get injured workers back to work. So it's not all of our claims. They're just a specific number that the comp board says, okay, here's your 2015-8 claims that over the years we've been getting a little reimbursement from the state for, because those individuals they felt could be hired back. Never have been, still off on comp. Some of the, you know, the range of ages, if you look through it, is, you know, there's some 54, 55, up to 77 years old. So
the second question or statement is that based on PERMA and their review, if everything stayed as projected, we'd lose $50,000.
If we didn't do anything, if we didn't settle, if we didn't try, if we just went status quo and just kept going, yeah, there would probably be, you know, in their, you know, in their numbers, they came in a little higher than where the state is.
Not factoring in any interest earned.
Correct.
For us having the money.
Yeah.
So what is the reality of actually negotiating these claims down, do you feel?
I think it's real positive. I don't think I'd be standing here trying to push this if I didn't feel that PERMA could close any of these, you know, or settle more than 10% of them. They've, as Jack said, they've been strong with us once they, and I kind of look at this like our, back in the day when it came to you folks and we changed our tail claims. We used to have a company called Corvell that handled it for years, just did it. They got paid, claims were going on. We changed the PERMA in the first year. They found a little over $600,000 of reimbursement money to us that was there that Corvell never did. The work comp board is the same way. They're just paying these claims going on because that's just what they do. PERMA's got to fight, you know, they're going to work hard. They're our current comp carrier. They're involved with us. They do a phenomenal job at that. They're not going to sit back with their feet on the desk. They're going to do everything they can to close these, look at them, settle. And again, if nothing changes, which I don't think that it would, we'd be pretty much where we are.
And I think your claims department is so active and so aggressive in a good way for us, not, you know, in a way that harms the claimant, but they're on top of it. So, you know, yeah, it, in an estimate, could we lose a little bit, not factoring in any interest that we gain by having the money? It certainly is a possibility, but it's so close with a lot of upside that we can settle for lower than the claim is reserved at, that we think it's, you know, worth the shot.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
I do. So you're saying that these tail claims have not had any kind of active negotiation. Thank you. Trying to settle them.
Yeah.
Nothing. No.
No, because, you know, again, back to, you know, the work comp board is just, it's, you know, they've shut this plan down in 2018. So there's no incentive. They're just paying it. And they're reaching out to every self-insured program in the state to say, here, we're going to give you money, take them, because they don't want to do it anymore. Because there's been no active and, you know, change. There's a lot of these. If you look some of the notes, some of the treatment for medical hasn't been in a number of years. And PERMA is already looking at those to help, you know, trim the cost of pharmaceuticals and such. So just them getting involved and starting, I see a savings coming back to the county.
And just for reference, as you know, I'm on the PERMA board on your behalf as an appointee from Steuben County, but PERMA is looking at this. They're getting offered the same thing on their own, but it's like $30 million because it's just so, I mean, PERMA's huge. And they're, PERMA is looking very favorably on taking those as well, just because you get the money and then you get the control.
Do these, so any expense related to these, does this get rolled into our current comp and then it gets allocated all to Steuben County, or do all of our participants share in some of this expense?
I would say that would be probably, what's the best way to put that, Jay?
I think it's almost a set aside program to a certain extent. That's because you have this money for these specific claims.
So they would be almost like a separate participant line.
Sort of.
Separate pool.
Yeah. It's a special fund for these claims specifically. Yep. So it boosts, obviously, the money that's available in the work comp fund, but it's really for those claims. And my view, we'd need two motions if you folks are viewing this favorably, one for accepting the 15-8 buyback, and then also to contract with Scott Brandy because to help administer this, because he does a very good job with it.
So how long does this $2,500 payment go on?
So it'd be $5,000 for the first year, and then year two through six, it'd be, or I'm sorry, $5,000 first year, years two through six, $2,500 each year.
So it ends through the 6 year.
Yep.
15 over 5 years.
And Jack's right. I think I agree. I would set this totally separate. Pull the 20 claims out of the claims we have, then every expense is to it. The money goes in a separate line item where we're drawing that money to pay against those money that's there that, you know, so we're not, that way it's easier to track, because it would be, you know, something for you folks to see on a quarterly basis or something where this is, or monthly, whatever you prefer to, yeah, here's where we are and here's where we're tracking. So.
And reports on if you're able to negotiate anybody out and give them a settlement.
Yeah, because those settlements would have to come back here anyways.
It'd have to come back here, just like any of those other buyouts. So you folks would have to approve it, so you definitely know what activity was going on. And Scott would be able to note, is this a buyout of, you know, a claim that's under the PERMA regular contract, or is this a claim under this special fund?
Yep.
I think you're going to be offering lump sum settlements. So, in other words, it's been valued at, say, $50,000. Mm-hmm. You go to that person and say, look, we'll give you $40,000 lump sum.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Always.
That's going to be attractive to a lot of these claimants.
Yeah.
I think you're going to sell.
I agree.
30, 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think given PERMA's history, since we've had them and the successes they've done, and look at how well the fund is now managed, that this is a yes.
And how
we should hand it over to them and let them actually do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you want to amend that motion, Gary, to include the consultant?
Or you could do two motions if you don't mind. Two would be cleaner, I think.
Well, let's act on the first motion. We got a motion to second. Any other questions for Scott?
Yep.
If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. So is there a second motion?
So move.
Second.
And that's for contracting with Brandy Insurance for
right. You need the details. Come on.
Oh.
I don't, as long as you don't.
John?
Yeah, one question after the 6 year is, we renegotiate with PERMA to handle this, or is that the end of it?
So I think it depends on where all those claims are. Yeah. If it's something that, you know, that'd be a talk with Scott, you know, how many claims do we still have active? How many look ripe for settlement? If none look ripe for settlement and we're just paying out, you know, then we're just paying out. And I think at that point, you know, if we have just a few that we might settle here and there, I think we can talk to Perma and Brandy and just say, hey, let's roll this into the rest of them.
Yep.
But if I read the explanation correctly, Perma isn't charging us anything in addition to take this on.
Right.
It's just Brandy, the broker.
Correct. Yep.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Appreciate it.
Next up, Nate and Brooks, I assume.
Morning.
Morning.
All right. A couple of requests from the district attorney's office today. The first is a request to start a new part-time ADA of the step five. As I spoke about yesterday, the number.
There it is. Okay, there it is. As I spoke about yesterday, the number in there is not correct. Instead of 41.4, it's 41.708. At the time we did the agenda, we didn't have the candidate necessarily. So what this actually does with the 41.708 is puts us at half of step 12, which the individual he's selected has plenty of experience to be at that level.
I'll move it.
I'm sorry. We got a motion.
I'll let you do that.
For a second.
Second.
Got a second. Any questions for Brooks or Nate? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, the second request is for a local law allowing full-time assistant district attorneys to live outside the county. This is a recognition of our recruiting issues and the need to be able to maybe expand our pool. As I indicated yesterday, my preference would be that we always hire people inside Steuben County. And in fact, the last time I tried to hire a full-time ADA, I offered to three attorneys in Steuben County and nobody wanted the job. I hired somebody from outside Steuben County who will be moving into the county, but that's also my preference, is to have folks move into the county. But there may come to situations where I cannot fill a position. No other office in the county is bound by this at this stage. We do have a local law that exists for our part-time ADAs. We did that several years ago. Right now, one of my part-time ADAs resides outside Steuben County. So our preference will always be to hire inside Steuben County. We'll give preference to our Steuben County residents and try to get everybody to move in. But if the situation comes where I cannot fill a position, this will give us the flexibility to be able to hire people.
I'll move it.
Second.
Got a second. Any questions?
I just have a clarification. I'm in support, Brooks, but my office is still subject to the residency requirement.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You did mention in your notes that surrounding counties all have this.
That's the only one I don't know about is Chemung, but I know everybody else does have it. Allegheny has it. Schuyler County has it. Yates County has it. I know Cortland County has it, as do about another 15 or 16 counties similar to us in upstate New York. And all of the counties in New York City do too.
Any other questions or comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Kathy, you're up.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we're asking to reclassify a social services attorney to a senior social services attorney. And as I spoke about last week, I think most of you heard, we do have an incumbent in this position who did receive an offer from another county. And as we, Kathy and I spoke and we looked at the duties of this position, has morphed obviously since the individual was hired, and the duties do warrant the upgrade. So we're asking, first of all, for permission to reclassify it, and also permission to hire above the step five at $91,753.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any questions for Nate?
So what's he making now?
Current is $74,775.
And we're taking him up to?
It's a promotion, so you're going up to another grade. So yes, and we're taking him up to $91,753.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything? Nothing. Anything else with the committee?
Next month will be busy for you.
Yeah. Did Brenda hand out the legislative district information?
I don't know if we emailed that yet.
Oh, I'd asked her yesterday to have printouts for everybody today of the sheets she had sent.
Does she have them in her hand?
Oh, she probably does.
Here she comes.
Good timing.
So given the 2020 census, we need to go through the motions again of redistricting. And I think this time we're not going to be able to kick the can down the road like we did in 2011.
Thanks.
There have been some pretty significant swings in the districts.
Thank you.
Yeah,
can we use anything that we had used that we had done back that far back?
Oh yeah, we have about 55 different scenarios that we'll blow the dust off from, and
thankfully I saved them all electronically. So
that did for about a year, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be able to dust those off. I created a bunch of spreadsheets that I can plug the new numbers in and come up. I think, the main threshold question that we had last time that at some point you folks need to answer to us, and this is where we started last time. Well, number one, do you want to do anything? At least look at it. I personally it's obviously your call, but the numbers, the disparity was striking enough last time that obviously we looked at it. It's not any better.
Right.
It's worse in some cases. So, if you look at it, then the first question is, how many legislators do you want? Do you want to keep 17? If I recall the ideal, and I'd have to run these again, but if I recall the ideal makeup without getting into splitting districts by roads, and if you want to keep your municipalities whole and not get into real gerrymandering,
right,
that will be a difficult task. If you folks went that way, I think it was either 11 or 23.
Yeah.
Other than 17.
I remember the 11.
Yeah, 11. And then I think it was up to 23 were the easy fits, but there were a number, I think there were five different scenarios for keeping 17. So 17, Chris and I can, work on this and see if that still holds valid. I mean, there are swings, but the swings aren't so astronomical that I don't think that those, at least frameworks that we developed 10 years ago now, wouldn't work.
So because we have a couple new legislators that weren't through that process 10 years ago, can you or Jen talk about what is our duty in order to keep the districts in relation or in concert with a census?
So every census you have to evaluate. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to reweight. You don't have to do anything. Your risk is the one person, one vote. And that goes down to your weighting. Weighting is certainly acceptable under the law. And I don't want to speak for Jen, but unfortunately went through this enough. it certainly is acceptable to reweight, but the problem is, in a reweighting scenario, if you look at specifically like the town of Irwin, they would have comparatively much more voice right. on the legislature. Now, how often do you get into where we have to calculate the weights? Maybe once a year, once every other year. So practically, you know, it might not be that big of a deal, but if ever challenged, you look at this and it looks pretty lopsided. And I ran some of the numbers before, and we're getting very, very close to a point where just a simple majority or even maybe less can carry an issue. Mm-hmm. So you could have a minority of the legislature of your 17. Once you apply the weights, they could carry the issues. And that's where it wasn't quite there. And, you know, I just did the math quick. It's not there yet, but it's getting very, very close.
How many issues have we had that really came down to weighted vote, having to?
I remember one time.
In the last 10 years,
it's normally Scott, it's normally a memorializing resolution or right. something, funny enough.
Yeah. Yeah, Brenda and Amanda would panic when they had.
Was it memorialization?
There have been probably times. I think when we. I think when you did when you allowed the blue laws for Good Friday sales, I think that one came down to it. You know, there's some, it's not the things you think it'd be, but
it is concerning. If you look at this sheet
yeah.
that has 2020, if we weighted them based on the 2021 census, the representative from Irwin is representing 60% more with his vote. Mm-hmm. than a person from the Hornell district. I mean, 723 versus 451, that's lopsided.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So even if we don't measure weighted votes every single time, it still isn't really following the word of the law of one person, one vote.
Yeah, we don't use weighted voting very much, but I can remember days when we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you come upon, I think it's inherent upon us to take a look at these weights because they are skewed at this point. And it's our responsibility to do that to make it fair.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
Yeah, about 8-10 years ago, we had at least one vote per meeting where it was weighted.
Yeah. A lot.
Right?
Yeah.
At least one. Yeah.
Yeah. It could get that way. I mean, you folks are all, you're a great legislature, but that doesn't mean that, you know, 10 years or within the next 10 years, you're not going to have situations where it might be more contentious. It might be, mm-hmm. you know, and then those things come directly into play.
So is there a plan for redistricting at this point?
There is no plan that I would develop. Chris and I, again, would develop scenarios if you would like us to, dusting off the old material, plugging in the new numbers and coming up with district scenarios for you to consider.
Yeah, this is just kind of the kickoff discussion of we need to relook at that.
And then once you start leading into that, it's... Go ahead, Hilda.
My complaint last time when we talked about this and we went through all those scenarios was, if it was broken, let's try not to fix something. And if things have changed a lot, I don't have that document in front of me, but maybe now is the time. I just didn't think last 10 years ago was the time to do it, since we have very few instances where we had the weighted voting become an issue. So, you know, maybe now's the time to do it.
Now's the time to do it. But once you start wading into those weeds of the moving district lines, that's where the bugaboos start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we having an election coming up this year with new people coming on this board? How would that affect them if we changed the weighted voting?
So you would
or if we changed the districting.
If you changed the districts, everyone at a date set, we'd have it in time for 2022 election. It'd probably be the next one. Everyone would have to stand for election in the new district.
Fred Potter here. Will this information be sent an email to the rest of us that aren't present at the meeting?
Yep, Brenda's on it.
yeah, and like Scott said, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, you have some data, but we're, yeah. I mean, I don't even know how many reams of paper we ended up printing and emailing around last time. So you will get a ton of information.
So I think a plan should be set up or worked on to redistrict at this point and present it. And let's see what that comes down to. So
just to understand what you just said, Jack, that means everyone would be up for election on the same year.
Yeah. If you do a total redistricting, because you may represent.
So Jack could get 17 new legislators.
Or 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe let's. Yeah. Who wants to kick it down the road? 10 more years. 10. How long? How about 15 years?
John, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we redistrict, it's a mandatory referendum.
I believe it is.
Yes.
Yes, it would be on your working at.
Well.
The soonest.
Yeah. And actually, process. That's a good point because we didn't have a charter at the time when we did this.
We were trying to do both at the same time.
Yep. So it would be a charter amendment. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to take a couple of years.
Oh, it'd probably be 23, 24 before.
Yeah.
But it's just something we need to go through the process.
Well, we need to understand the process. So maybe it needs to be identified step by step, what all needs to be done and how we go about it. I mean, I didn't participate in it last time, obviously. So I have no idea where we even start.
So, you know, today's a start. You have the raw data. The next would be Chris and I developing different scenarios for you. But we would just need parameters and we don't need that today, but we would need parameters. Do you want to look at less legislators, more legislators? Do you want to stay at 17? Do you want us, at one point we had like 120 scenarios.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we looked at, you know, all the way down from 11 to 15 to 17, all the way up to like 28, you know, it's just how far and wide do you want that?
With that amount,
I'm sorry, 17 seems like a very good number. If that's where we ended 10 years ago, was 17 works with redistricting, with changing the lines, and it seems like a workable number. There was concern certainly of adding more legislators, but there was also concern once you go down to 11. Are some of the voices lost, those sort of things.
With the amount of work that we have and emails we've been getting, 17 seems like a good number to me, and it's pretty well. And you had some good plans when you presented the 17 before.
With relatively minor changes, and we'll show you the plans. There were some that were just changing a few districts.
Right.
There were some that changed most of them. There were some that went to large multi-member districts. So you combine a bunch of towns. You already have some of those districts right now, but the majority of them would be multi-member districts at that point. So those sort of things.
So these sheets, 21 is where we're at now. And then the 20 census is where we would be under weighted voting, correct? If we just stayed with weighted voting.
Uh-huh. Right.
If everybody's worried about Irwin, you could make it go to 18 legislators and split the 723. If you're worried about that, you know, they're the main one that sticks out. You look at a lot of these others, 500-600, they're all in there close. And the only big one is Irwin. Cut Irwin in half, and let them add one more legislator.
They don't add 360 each.
Right. It was Irwin on the high side and then Hornell City on the low side. But we had a lot of discussion back then about, you know, because one of the scenarios was combining the town of Hornellsville and the city of Hornell. But then are you treating one incorporated city different than another incorporated city? And there's legal issues with that. I remember going through that with Alan at length. Yeah.
So if we changed the 18 legislators, we'd have to go to a public referendum, correct?
No. Oh, yeah. You're going to, anything other than changing the weights would have to.
Yeah. The charter.
So the easiest way is just change the weight.
That's the easiest
way. Yeah. I didn't say it was way people want to go, but it's the easiest.
You can do that by resolution.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We'll get to work on it. Do you want, I mean, is it okay if we really due in earnest, like beginning of the year instead of during the budget negotiations?
Not during budget
and everything.
Season.
Is
this
that
is,
okay?
This is not priority one during budget.
Just for purposes of timing, you have to have your referendum to elections by August of the year. So that would be the drop dead date, August of 2022.
I think from, if you're okay with it, not to shirk work, but you know, with budget, with negotiations, with everything that we got going on and how busy your calendars will be, it seems like dust it off at the beginning of the year. I mean, we can do some work behind the scenes and get ready, but have the discussion starting kind of January, February.
That's fine.
We all have too much on our plate until we get through budget and COVID and everything else.
Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. Meeting's adjourned.
We are at right now.